Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. It's Thursday morning, and usually Pastor English is speaking at this time, but he was at the church late last night, so I'm just going to kind of take his spot this morning and share a little story here. I feel that the Lord's laid on my heart. I just hope that someone is blessed by it. Anyway, Lord, we just come before you right now, and I just thank you for this time together. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity and the way you laid these things out before us, Lord, these conference lines, and that we can come together and praise and worship you and be able to share and fellowship with like-minded believers, Lord. And we just thank you for all you've given us, Lord, the answer prayers. But thank you for your presence, Lord. I thank you for not giving up on me. I thank you for saving me. Lord, I pray that you'll, Holy Spirit, will just guide my words here this morning. And I just pray that what I feel that you laid before me here, that I believe that I pray that it will touch someone, Lord. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I say, I'm just going to tell a little story here. It's a story about a It's about a man named James C. Hansen. James is 86 years old, and he's lying in a hospital bed, and he's taking shallow breaths. James, he knows he's about to leave this world. He's in and out of consciousness and remembering, dreaming. He's having flashbacks and just looking back at his life. And as he's doing this, he realizes nothing, absolutely nothing, really went the way he had planned it. And on top of all that, he was now concerned what was going to happen when he died. His lifelong friend that James hadn't spoken to in over 20 years, because his friend, Earl, had gotten saved and tried to share with James, but James didn't want to hear it. And at one point, he finally got tired of it. And James ran him off, and he hadn't spoken to him since. Now, it wasn't because Earl, James called Earl Cuz, by the way, and it wasn't because Earl didn't try. He kept trying to make attempts and everything, but James, he was too proud to admit that he was wrong, and he just kept ignoring the attempts that Cuz made over the years to mend their friendship. Cuz is what James called Earl, and J.C. is what Earl called James. But James, he was a guy that planned everything to the T. He didn't miss nothing. He was his own man. He was headstrong. He was proud. He was never wrong. And he never gave in to anything. He grew up on a farm in southeast Arkansas, and he's working the cotton field. His family worked for a farmer, and they worked the cotton field. He started doing that at a very young age. He hated living on the farm and the farm life. He had hard feelings toward his parents for bringing the family up on a farm. And when James was about 15, he ran away, and he never looked back, never seen his family again. As he started journeying his life, he swore that things were going to be better for him, and he started planning things for his life. And as time went on, as he got a little older, doing odd jobs, things like that, he was about 17, and he lied about his age, and he joined the Army. Back in those days, they didn't have the background checks and stuff and the ability to check people as they do today. But anyway, he did his term, and he moved to Detroit after that and got a job at General Motors. And while he was in the Army, that's where he met Cuz. And they instantly hit it off. They lived some pretty wild lives and partied and done about whatever they wanted. And shortly after James moved to Detroit, Cuz followed him. And he also went to work at GM. They both met fine ladies there and got married. Old James, he immediately started planning his life with his wife. The plan was they would wait for 5 years before, at least 5 years before they would start having kids. But by the time the third year rolled around, they had two girls. So James started planning again. He started planning for their future, their college, where they would go, what they would be, etc. Pretty much planning out their whole lives. And retirement, James, he was planning his wife, him and his wife's retirement to the T, how much money they would have, where they would travel, all things they would do at a certain date. Now, James was good with his money. He used it wisely. He saved. He invested in all the right things. And as he later died, he was a very, very wealthy man. And the girls, there was enough money there for the girls. They could go to college anywhere they chose, anywhere they wanted to go. But there was just a problem. At 16, one of the girls was killed in a car wreck by a drunk driver. At 17, the other one got pregnant. James disowned her. Pretty much never having nothing to do with her again. He had plenty of money to retire, travel, and do all the things he planned to do with his wife. But his wife died of cancer 2 years before the planned retirement date. He was financially set for life, but spiritually broken. As he lay there alone, because due to his pridefulness, his inability to love friends and family, despite differences and mistakes, he had absolutely no one. He was a dying man, scared of the dark. Throughout his life, he figured and kind of thought that, you know, there had to be a God of some sort, some kind of a creator. But he was too busy planning. He didn't have time for that. He was too busy doing this and that and planning his life. And as he lay there, he started thinking and remembering his old friend Cuz trying to tell him how we all need Jesus, and we try to explain the plan of salvation and how that would, you know, to get us to heaven and everything. And he faded out again. Brother James, like so many of us, he planned everything. We planned vacations, trips, careers, college, retirement. We spent our whole lives planning all these things that we really have very little control over. Now, we're supposed to plan for retirement, a rainy day, and plan for a future. But the one thing we have complete control over, we choose so many times to ignore, and that is where we're going to spend eternity. We think we have plenty of time. We'll do it later. We think like James, I'm a good guy. I never robbed a bank. I never stole nothing. I'm good to go. But that, as we all know on the line here tonight, that's not the case. We've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus, or it's just not going to work. Hell's going to be full of good people. But let's talk about eternity for a minute, since we're going to be spending so much time there. Eternity, our human minds can't even comprehend the concept of it. Eternity means everlasting, endless, immeasurable, time with no end. Time without end is where we're going to be spending eternity when we leave this world. From the time we're out of our mother's womb and we take those first breaths, they clean us up, hand us our mother, and this begins our journey to eternity. For the first time of our life, it's pretty much being a kid and doing what mom and dad tell us to do. Some kids are fortunate to be born and raised in a Christian home, and the seed is planted at a very young age. And the journey to eternity is started out on the right path. Others are brought up in a good home, some good parents, with absolutely no God, knowledge of God. This path here is just a little different. We all know that some kids are born in homes where there's neither. No godly influence, no good parents whatsoever. But we live our lives We're going down one or two paths, the right or the wrong. We all have one thing in common. We're all on a journey to eternity. Our journeys to eternity is longer for some than others. While some live to be 95, others are gone at 16, like James's daughter, or even younger, and every age in between. From the cradle to the grave, the line we walk between the eternities is such a fine line that would scare us to death if we could see it. We get to thinking that we just got going on and we're doing good, and we just think we got all the time in the world. Yet we all hear stories our whole life about people dying unexpected, even people we know, like Brother Rick. We're coming up November 15th will be a year. Rick died unexpected, just fell over. Nobody's seen that coming. So we hear those stories all our lives, but we give very little thought that it happened in any one of us. Our lives are so fragile. One wrong turn, and there you are, car wreck. You're in eternity. A slip on the ladder, cleaning your gutters. You fall. You're in eternity. A sudden heart attack. There you are. Where are we going to spend eternity? We spend our whole life planning for these other things that I've just talked about, and we spend very little time planning for our eternity. The Bible says in James 4:13-15, come now you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit, whereas we don't even know what will happen tomorrow. For what is our life? It is even but a vapor that appears for a little time and it vanishes away. Instead, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. I think the Bible's clear right here that our plans for life, we have very little control over. And a clear characteristic of having an affair with worldliness is making plans without consulting God. Such an action as this is considered boasting and is a presumption that oneself is in control and not God control of our circumstances of life. Man, I don't know if we've all ever done that or not, but I've been guilty of that. My goodness. We need to acknowledge our total dependence on God and all we say or do. So, anyway, I think the Bible's clear right there about just how much control we have over our plans and the things we're going to do. Anyway, we'll move on here. So, also, I'll tell you what, if you've never read and studied the book of James, man, I encourage you to do so and try to apply it to our lives. That's some good stuff in the book of James. Anyway, so let's just say you've been brought up right. You've known God your whole life. Or maybe you didn't grow up. Maybe you fall into that category. You have good parents, a good home, but no knowledge of God. But someone pointed you in the right direction, and you're on the right road now. You're saved. You're saved. You're living for God. You're living right. You're going to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. You go to Bible study on Thursdays. You're a Christian. You're on your way to heaven, eternity in heaven. What a good feeling to know when you leave this world, you're going to spend eternity in heaven. Are we one of these Christians that have unforgiveness in our hearts? Is there someone we hold a grudge against or harbor ill feelings toward? Something you just can't let go. The Bible talks about in Matthew, I believe it is, if we forgive men of our trespasses, then our Heavenly Father will also forgive us. But if we don't forgive, our Heavenly Father won't forgive us. But surely none of us have fall into this category. They're listening right now, so I'll move on here. So you're saved. You're going to church. There's no unforgiveness in your heart. There's no one you're avoiding because of some issues. All is good. Unless you're one of these Christians that are dealing with a little bit of a judgmental attitude. And sure, I'm sure that that doesn't apply to anybody here this morning, so I'll move on. I'm sure none of us have ever had an opinion about someone that's just based on the way they look or act, or we've heard something. Well, here's a good one. Here's a big one right here. We heard something about somebody. But instead of finding out the facts, whether it's true or not, we'll pass it on. We'll share it with somebody else. Maybe add a little more to it before we really know the truth. And I hate to say it, but some of these things can keep us from heaven. We could go on all morning here about things that do that, and I won't even mention lusting over another, putting material things of this world before our God. That's a form of idolatry. Myself, I struggle with being judgmental. I've gotten better. I've also struggled with unforgiveness. I've let a issue that I dealt with for over 30 years. I carried around for over 30 years about unforgiveness about someone. I have since let that go, but I struggled with that for a long time. I held a grudge, and I also have been bad about being judgmental, and I have to ask for forgiveness all the time to Lord to help me through that. But anyway, we'll move on here. So we'll assume all is good. You don't have any of these hang-ups that I've spoke of this morning. No unforgiveness, no judgmental feelings, no lusting, anything else. You're good to go. You're ready. If the rapture happens any second, you're ready. If any second you die unexpected, you're ready to go. Praise God for it. Again, like I said before, isn't it a great feeling to know that when you leave this world, you're going to spend eternity in a place where time has no end, in heaven. You know, I hear it almost daily. I'm sure some of you hear it as well. I hear it all the time. I wish the Lord would just take us out of here. I hear it on this line. People saying, I'm just tired of the way things are going in this whole world. I wish the Lord would just come and take us out of here. Ain't that awesome? We're ready to go. And when I say you, I mean we, me, myself. We're ready to go. We're waiting for that trumpet. We're killing the car wreck. We're ready to go. So if we're ready to go at any second, then surely that must mean that our spouse is ready, right? Surely if we're ready to go, that must mean our kids, our grandkids, family members are ready. Let's not forget about our neighbor down the street that's always there to lend a helping hand and do whatever you need to do. And there's been times you've come home from work and he's shoveled the snow out of your driveway. Surely he's ready. Our family, our friends, our neighbors, they're all ready. I suppose. What about the lady at the truck stop? Are we stop on our run every night and get a cup of coffee or a bottle of pop or whatever, visit with her every night? She's ready too, right? Each and every one of these people are ready, I'm assuming. Everyone's ready. We go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, when our schedules allow. Bible study on Thursday. We're up here on the line every night praising the Lord. But what good is it if we just, when when we go to church, we hear the word, we sing praises to his name, we sit on these lines every night. And when we leave the church and we get off the line, that's where it ends. That's where it stays. We don't share with others what we know. I tell you, we're responsible for what we know. What good is it? Aren't we supposed to teach and share others? That's what the Bible says, I think. Aren't we supposed to share the gospel? You know what the gospel means? The gospel, the word gospel means to bring or announce the good news. To speak as a messenger of gladness, to proclaim the good news. Are we doing that? Am I doing that? Are we? I'm going to take we out of this. Am I living a life that glorifies God and bears witness that when people meet me, they know who I am, they know who I serve without me telling them I'm a Christian? Man, I hope so. Now, if you're not guilty of anything I've spoken about here tonight, then this message isn't for you, and praise God for it. But if you are, how can we sit here and say that I'm ready? Lord, take us out of here. When family, friends, neighbors, and acquaintance are headed for hell, a place where time never ends, for eternity. Time never ends in hell as well as it does in heaven. A place that's immeasurable. How can we sit here and say we're ready? That's a pretty selfish statement, I think. Now, brothers and sisters, we have to get serious about the Lord's work. Time is shorter than we think. And let's not forget about, we hear about the rapture all the time, the times that we're living in, and I think all of us agree we're living in the last days. But let's just take that out of the equation. What about the unexpected death? It could happen to any one of us, anytime. I think we all need to search our hearts tonight. Are we harboring any unforgiveness, any judgmental feelings, or anything in our heart that's going to keep us from heaven? Are we sharing the gospel, proclaiming the good news, doing all we can do, doing all I can do for the Lord? This is serious stuff. If we aren't doing this, maybe it's time we get serious and just be honest with ourselves. Is there someone that we need to make things right with? You know, if you're harboring ill feelings towards somebody over something that happened, you know, most things that happen that we look back on, the deal that I carried around for me for over 30 years, it was nonsense. And thank God I put it behind me. And something we got to remember, just because we're offended, someone offended us, and someone done something to us that we didn't think was right, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that we're right just because we're offended by it and being bullheaded. Is there anything in our life that we need to clean up, anything we need to get serious with about Jesus and get these things cleaned up? Don't let pridefulness and everything else I've mentioned here keep you from heaven. And don't let another day go by without sharing the good news, the gospel, with someone. It's time to make a commitment to seriously serve one or the other. We can't serve God and live worldly. We can't do both. We can't do a little of both. I see this all the time. I'm sure some of you have too. proclaim born-again Christians saying or do something that it just blows me away. I seen a pastor the other day, and I won't mention his name. I seen a pastor the other day put something on Facebook that it did not glorify God. I couldn't believe it. And we can't serve two masters. It's time to plan on the only thing that we have control over, and that is where we're going to spend eternity, a place where time has no end, and take as many people with us as we can when we go. You know, the other day, some of you seen this guy. We were at Pastor Danny's church up here, and there was a missionary there, and he was talking about, he had all the numbers. I don't have the numbers, so. But he talked about the total population in the world. He talked about, out of that total population in the world, how many proclaimed born-again Christians were in this whole world. And he took those numbers, and he said that if each one of these born-again Christians would lead 10 people to the Lord, the whole world would be saved. When was the last time we led someone to the Lord? When was the last time we talked to a non-believer about our faith and told them about Jesus? Sat down and told them about Jesus. When was the last time I sat down with someone and just told them about Jesus? This missionary, they had those figures. When you get to thinking about that in our walk with Christ here to lead 10 people to the Lord, you get to thinking about that. That's not a whole lot. And I think I know that I'm lacking in that area of sharing my faith. And, you know, also, when we're doing God's work, I believe that, speaking of this missionary here, I think that we should all support those things. I don't ever plan on going to Haiti or South America or wherever, the cities of Los Angeles or New York. I think God's blessed us. If God's blessed you with a decent job, and you can, whether you can send $5 or $10 or $100, I think Christians need to get serious about supporting these people that go in and do the work that you and I will never do. Man, it's just, I feel it's time to get serious, and I pray and hope that I am going to try to do better at that myself. James C. Hansen, 86 years old. He's fading fast. He's right on the brink of slipping into eternity. He's in and out of consciousness, having flashbacks. He's having dreams. Some of his dreams are horrible. Big, ugly, long hands with big old ugly claws on the end of them, reaching out, trying to catch him, trying to grab a hold of him. He's pretty much in torment. Faintly hears JC. JC. JC, can you hear me? James Mines Worland. He doesn't know if he's dreaming. He doesn't know if he's having one of these flashbacks. But he's still got enough wits about him to know there's only one person on this planet They calls him JC. Because, he mutters, he's not fully conscious yet. His heart's racing. He can barely open his eyes. He kind of squints his eyes open and he sees his oldest and dearest friend. At his side, holding his hand. Cuz says, "Ho, old friend, it's good to see you again." Tears are running down JC's face. He's trying to apologize. He can't hardly talk. He's gripping Cuz's hand. He said, "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I wanted so many times to call you and talk to you. I'm sorry." He said, "I just couldn't make myself do it. I couldn't give in." He said, "I love you, Cuz. Can you please forgive me?" With tears in his eyes, Cuz said, "There's nothing to forgive, old buddy. I love you, and I've been praying for you every single day." He starts to fade again. He hears Dad. He hears a woman's voice faintly, "Dad. Dad, do you remember me?" Cuz says to James, "I brought someone with me. Someone with me. I hope you don't mind." And a grown woman comes to the other side and says, "Dad, I love you. Can you hear me?" James is sobbing, "Yes. Yes, sweetie, I love you. I'm so sorry. I wish I could go back and change." She goes, "I love you, Daddy. I love you." As they're standing there on each side of him holding his hands, JC's breaths are getting shower. And he looks at Cuz and he mutters, "I'm scared. I'm so scared." Cuz asks, "JC, are you ready to make things right with God?" JC said, "Yes." So Cuz leads him to the Lord right there in that hospital bed. And less than 20 minutes later, James C. Henson, 86, peacefully slipped into eternity. By holding the hand of his oldest friend and his daughter. James had an opportunity I think some of us will never have. I'd say that most of us won't have this opportunity to make things right with God in the last few seconds of our life, the last few minutes of our life. You know, as we look back at this story, James, he represents the world. We don't have time for God. We're too busy. We're too focused on ourselves and pleasing ourselves, not planning for eternity. Earl, Cuz, as he called him, he represents our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was always trying to reach out to James and mend their friendship, their relationship. And when James finally decided that he needed to do that, Cuz was right there and took him in and told him there's nothing to forgive. Just like our Lord and Savior does. When we come to Him and ask forgiveness, He takes us in and our sins are forgotten. So what I'm going to leave with tonight is, let's try not to spend a lifetime planning for a bunch of things we have literally no control over, and start spending time where we're going to spend our eternity, place without end. After all, we're going to be spending a lot of time there. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this opportunity to share. Lord, I pray that this has touched someone or touched someone later. If you're listening to this CD, and you listen to this message tonight, and you got some things you've got to make right with God, I'm going to repeat a prayer, and I'll give you time to follow along behind me. And after that prayer, I'm going to give you some information as well. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you tonight. I ask for forgiveness of my sins. I believe that you died on a cross for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead on the third day, and I believe right now that you're at the right hand of the Father. I ask you to come into my life, and I ask you to wash me clean in your blood. I give myself to you right now, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Amen. And if you said that prayer and you meant it, mere words will get you nothing. If you said that prayer and you meant it, then you just made the best decision you've ever made in your life. And maybe you didn't say that prayer, but you wish you had of, and you want to talk to someone. Or either way, if you want to talk to someone, pray with someone, I'd be glad to do that. Just call 816-729-6649. Or you can go to extendedhandsofgod.org. All our contact information is there. We'd like to send you a Bible, some literature to help you with your new walk with the Lord. We also have a lot of CDs, different messages from different pastors, and some incredible testimonies. Those would be free to you as well. Just contact us at one of those at the phone number of the website. And if you'd like to listen to this message again and share with a friend or a family, the playback to this recording is 605-562-0029 with access code of 812-193-714. And this will be recording number 128. Thanks for joining us here at Extended Hands of God Highway Ministry this morning. God bless.